Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problems that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me today. With the Lord's help, we're going to conclude a message on the unhealed wound and its cure. And we've been looking the last several broadcasts at a passage found in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, where he was describing the grievous condition of Israel as they were in Babylonian captivity, relating it in a spiritual parallel to individuals and many in the church today. But now let's focus. God was describing the condition as hopeless outside of Him. In chapter 30, verse 12, he says, "For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines." And he said, "All thy lovers have forsaken thee. Why criest thou over thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquities." And so he was describing the desperate situation they were in. But he does give a remedy, and the remedy he gives for them is the remedy for the church today, for the woes that are in the body of Christ, for the sinner's woes. The answers are found in God alone, in His presence, in His promises. Let's look at verse 11 again. "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations to which I've scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." Historically, Jeremiah is positive at the destruction, regarding the destruction of Israel's political economy and the conditions of her exile and her punishment. But Jeremiah also is very positive that the disaster which he faces will not mean total extinction, but a judgment which will allow for those who will turn to the Lord with all their might. And in these verses, we see the perpetuity of Israel as a nation, that it is in fact assured. Praise God. So there are seven things now that God says He's going to do with this really bad situation that God's people find themselves in. First of all, verse 17, God says, "I will restore health unto thee." Aren't you glad for that? When we're restored to Him, it means health. And so it is with the church. When the church is restored to Jesus, there will be health, such a spiritual health. The church will burn with the flames of God's anointing, with the fire of that first love. Remember when Jesus stood and amidst the seven golden lampstand, and the message that He gave to John as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and He spoke against the lukewarmness, the materialism, you know, the Laodicean church. "They're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." Isn't that pretty much the message we hear today? We're walking in victory. Praise God. You know, all of our needs are being met. Goodness. And God says, don't you see? Jesus said, don't you see that you're naked and miserable and poverty-stricken. We don't see our true condition. It's possible to walk in self-deception because of sin. Sin, you know, corrupts our ability to see clearly. But the Lord says, "I am with thee, and He will give healing. I will heal thee of thy wounds." God said He would not only save from sickness, but also from unsoundness. The wounds may be deep, but not too deep for God's healing power. What does verse 17 say? Let me turn over to it. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. And also, he's going to bring freedom. I will bring again the captivity. That's verse 18. There's not only healing, but there's a complete emancipation from the power of the enemy. Oh, aren't you glad for that? Praise God, praise God. Well, let's take a look at what Colossians says, and I want to be reading now in the first chapter, verses 10 through 14, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us from the kingdom, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Praise God. So we're promised healing, freedom, fruitfulness. In verse 19, I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. There's an increase of numbers as a result of a better testimony for God. And honor, he says, I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. That's verse 19. They might be despised or rejected by all around them, but they've been accepted and they've been honored by God. Praise God. Those who suffer for Christ will also rule and reign with him. Furthermore, it doesn't stop there. In verse 20, he promises protection. I will punish all that oppress them. God gives a warning. I will fight for my people. And God is still a fighter for his people and for his church. His redeemed are his peculiar treasure. I've just always loved those words that Jesus has said, Father, I've not lost one whom you've given me. And so he that began a good work in you, he's going to be faithful to complete it. As long as you don't turn your back on God, as long as you say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore, God, as long as you are trying to the very best of your ability to walk pleasing before him, his grace and mercy is there to pick you up each and every time. If you repent, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. On the cross, he died for your sins, not only your past sins, your present sins, as well as your future sins. Now, that doesn't mean that we walk in license. I'm not talking greasy grace, but I'm talking of reverence and a love relationship with our God because of all that he has done for us. And not only that, I mean, as if that were not enough, there's all sufficiency. He says in verse 22, I will be your God. And there could be no greater promise than that, no greater blessing. I will be your God and you shall be my people. God states in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, 5 and 6, verse, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Praise God. Let me just share a few verses in Colossians. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 25. Well, actually, no, let me start reading verse 7. In the which ye also once walked when ye lived in them, but now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Hallelujah. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you that regardless of where we might find ourselves at this moment, Lord, there may be rebellion and sin, and Lord, we just come to you. And if you're in that place, if you need restoration in your relationship with the Lord, just seek him now. Simply come just as you are. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to God. That's what he does when we come to him. Lord, we're just thankful that, Lord, no matter of what's around us, no matter of the trials without or the temptations within, that you have promised to be with us. Lord, you said through Habakkuk, you will make our feet like hinds' feet, and that even in the midst of adversity, the Lord is our strength. And adversity won't be able to destroy that kind of joy. Lord, I just pray for our nation. I pray for the body of Christ. I pray for those who are listening, those who need to be restored. Lord, that you would just pour your anointing and cause that anointing, Lord, to destroy every yoke of bondage, of sin, of hindrance and bondage the enemy has put upon your beloved. For the Lord would say, I will arise, says the Lord, and I will shake myself as a mighty man of war. I am your peace, and I am your defense. Be not troubled, for I am with you, and compass you about with my shield of protection. My ministering angels are stationed around them that fear my name. My love hides you from harm. You shall not fear the arrow that flieth by day, nor the terror by night, as my word declares. For in the time of trouble I will hide you in my pavilion. In the secret of my tabernacle shall I hide you. I will set you up upon a rock. I am the rock of refuge for my people. And though the storms may come and wind may blow and rains beat fiercely, your house shall not fall, neither shall it be swept away by the flood. You shall continue to stand upon the rock and abide and rest in my joy, says the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Spirit. Well, Lord, well, friends, my time is gone. I thank the Lord for our time together. I invite you to tune in next time. The announcer will give our contact information. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.